Continuing Helen Wright's book, Made Whole Through Our Marriage to God.
Columbus was divinely directed to discover America so it could become the cradle for Mary Baker Eddy's great spiritual discovery that our own mind is God, so that we, like Jesus, could make ourselves the Son of God. Nowhere else on earth, and never before in history, was there an environment ready for the advent of Mary Baker Eddy until after the discovery of America. But if the early history of the United States shows how the easing of rigid hierarchy in government allows the blooming of the human spirit, recent history shows how burgeoning material organization in the form of bureaucracy can stifle the spirit that honors God. Mary Baker Eddy's divine instruction, Christian Scientists, be a law to yourselves, is causing today's discontent with outgrown, limiting laws and methods, and the dismantling of big government. Our work is to know that those who seem to direct the destiny of nations have no other mind than the mind that is infinite good, called God. The danger facing America is well presented by Malcolm Wallop's warning, quote, "Today, America is in danger of becoming a nation of favor-seekers and dependents. Her political leaders, as well as her ordinary citizens, must recover their once widely shared and deep commitments to personal responsibility and independence. Today's government touches almost everything in America and harms almost everything it touches. Those who do the taxing and spending have long since ceased to work for the people as a whole," unquote. Welfare offers an insidious temptation to young people reluctant to face the responsibilities of growing up. Quote, "Most Americans sense that our ever-rising taxes are feeding a machine hostile to our values, that big government has largely deprived us of self-government. It has developed an arrogance of power that leads to the delusion that they are above the law." Tinkering with this and that detail, policy wonkmanship, cannot make big government user-friendly. Nor will it do much good to reinvent government, that is, make its operations more slender and efficient. If one accepts the premise of big government, its clients will turn every reform into an excuse to grow. Nor can it do much good to make sure that big government is run by good people with the best intentions. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Unquote. This is exactly what happened when Mrs. Eddy's manual estoppels were flagrantly disobeyed. The dispossessed 5-member board quickly seized control of the Publishing Society in order to have the means to perpetuate themselves as Mrs. Eddy's successor. To restore self-government and personal responsibility, big government, whether church government or the government of nations, must simply be gotten out of the way. It's time to throw the book at crime. Fortunately, there are signs that this is happening. The writings of Mary Baker Eddy, alias the Second Coming of the Christ, are transforming the universe. The modern world has ended. We are going through a transitional period. Something is on its way out, and something else is being painfully born. As we move toward the 21st century, Christian Science is more and more driving error, including the political monsters who are terrorizing our world from undercover, out into the open, where error can be seen and dealt with as a lie that it is. As we emerge from the cobwebs of ecclesiasticism and enter the minefields of turbulent times, every Christian Scientist should leap to the front to reassure tired humanity that all we ever need is to get our eyes opened to the truth of being. Error today is showing itself as many indexes of social well-being are exploding in the wrong direction, from the number of children in foster care to the teen birth rate, from hospital cocaine episodes to juvenile arrests, from the growth of government regulations to record employment layoffs. It is showing itself forth in a staggering boom in self-indulgence, in endless examples of bad taste and vulgarity, like the recent flood of shameless citizens sharing degrading personal divulgences on TV and other news media. "Everything is changing," said Will Rogers. "People are taking their comedians seriously and their politicians as a joke," unquote. Regarding hard work, we have seen the American ethic turned on its head. For far too long, those who play by the rules and keep the faith have gotten the shaft. For many people, the striving to get ahead has now given way to a life-or-death struggle simply to stay afloat. As the rich get richer and the rest get poorer, many people seem to be giving up on the traditional values that represent the true strength of our society. In the face of what feels like a societal breakdown, we are finally learning that the traditional response, loading up our already titanic bureaucracies with more deck chairs, will not solve anything. We are seeing the twilight of the welfare state. This should not be allowed to mean rewarding the greedy and forsaking the needy, but the handwriting is on the wall. In spite of the trillions spent on welfare, there are more people in poverty now than when the Great Society began 30 years ago. Money isn't the answer. Learning spiritually what you are, that thou art made whole, is the answer. We all need to turn more to the spiritual. Jocelyn Elders, former U.S. Surgeon General, tells us that, quote, the crime and wretchedness from drugs continues to escalate, as in the past 10 years we've gone from 300,000 prisoners to 1.3 million, unquote. The misery, desolation, and sorrow this entails will drive people to seek refuge in a more spiritual way of life, to learn that whatever their human situation seems to be, whatever mortal mind is telling them, negatively, is not true. Each can be transformed. God is the only mind. God is our real mind. There is only God to meet us. Each one of us right now is literally the presence of God in human form. Each one is worthy, cherished, and accepted. Each of us, like St. Paul, can be transformed. Paul was the personified intellectual. Imbued with a fanatic purpose to persecute the Christians, he did great evil. In Acts, he tells us how he malignantly pursued the Christians, quote, unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, how he went to Damascus to bring them out which were bound into Jerusalem to be punished. But what happened on the way to Damascus? Quote, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, who also had seen the great light, I came unto Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man, came to me, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Unquote. Thus it was that dear, blessed St. Paul became the great apostle to the Gentiles, and nearly half of the New Testament is devoted to his holy ministry. The greatness of St. Paul lay in the fact that he proclaimed Jesus' holy authority, just as all loyal Christian scientists should proclaim Mary Baker Eddy's divine authority in this age. What would have happened to Jesus' great work and example without Paul's hallowed devotion to explain and carry it forward? Why was St. Paul chosen? Because he was humble, teachable, and earnestly wanted to do God's will. The same qualities that made Paul great abide in each one of us, even in someone who is a criminal, ready to spring forth when we are confronted as Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was the arbiter of his own fate. Spiritual and material progress. As the pain and uncertainty of the world force mortals to turn from this mortal and material dream to the true sense of reality, we will become aware of our Christ nature, our oneness with God. In reality, wonderful things are taking place. Quote, if spiritual sense always guided us, there would grow out of ecstatic moments a higher experience and a better life, unquote. The same process that forced St. Paul to know the truth and is now forcing us to do likewise also acts on nations. Eventually, rightness will be compelled into life by pressure from a wide range of citizens dissatisfied with the direction our country is going. Much is good in the current picture. When the hand-wringing over America's moral decline is done, we have to admit that genuine progress has been made during the past 50 years. Our society, in many ways, is today freer, more equal, and more just than it was 50 years ago. Americans are freer to marry or not to marry, to bear children or not to, and women have entered many of the professions formerly reserved for men. Millions today would love to come to America to enjoy our wonderful religious freedom, our separation of church and state. Yet there are well-meaning people who believe that by making Christianity the law of the land through a constitutional amendment, they can stem the social and moral breakdown they see around them. We know just the opposite is true. People cannot be legislated into godliness. The kingdom is within. It cannot be imposed from without by bureaucratic fiat. Only by freeing people, encouraging and educating them to become what they truly already are, can we transform society. There can be no question but that the trials of life force mankind to forsake matter with its false pleasures and pains for the joys of soul, spiritual understanding, true Christ identity. Why is there suffering? Suffering forces us to awake to true being. The hour has struck for spiritual progress, and spiritual progress begins when we are no longer preoccupied with human good and human evil, but are able to penetrate beyond those to our true and present Christhood. Today's widespread poverty, homelessness, loneliness, and despair, the many divorces with their crushing grief, the intense sorrow, anguish, and distress entailed as homes are broken and families split up. These vexations cause mortals to yearn for a higher, more spiritual life. A haunting hunger, the immortal cravings for higher enjoyments, bring about receptivity for more and more spiritual teaching, leading us higher and higher spiritually. Mrs. Eddy discovered the great secret back of Jesus' words, "Resist not evil." When the disciples told Jesus, "Even the devils are subject unto us," Jesus was quick to tell them to rejoice because they had been taught that there was no evil. The sense of evil is only illusion, hypnotic suggestion. Only the lying 5 physical senses contradicting the truth that infinite good's law is the only cause, the only power. Resist not evil. Tune in to what God is saying and tune out error's twaddle. It is merely an illusion, and we don't resist an illusion. Our real mind that is love causes us to awaken and see evil's nothingness. We are no longer surprised by the waves of crime that seems to be inundating the world today. Nor should we be surprised. After all, it was prophesied in Jesus' revelation that after the woman had brought forth the man-child, infinite good's message to mankind, the second coming of the Christ, there would be tribulation. Quote, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time." Unquote. Regarding this prophecy, Mary Baker Eddy writes, "Marvels, calamities, and sin will much more abound as truth urges upon mortals its resisted claims. But the awful daring of sin destroys sin and foreshadows the triumph of truth. God will overturn until he come whose right it is. Man born of the Spirit is spiritual." In the book Documents, page 132, we read, quote, Jesus showed that dying didn't kill us. And Mrs. Eddy showed that being born doesn't cause us to live. The first two sentences of the scientific statement of being, stating that there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, begin the most wonderful paragraph in any language. It will revolutionize human consciousness. The truth in this remarkable statement is man. For man, having no mind but God, is the understanding of God. In other words, man isn't something that knows God. Knowing God, infinite good, our real mind, having the character of God, is being man, for they are one. Principle and its idea is one. There is only one. Christ is the full manifestation of the divine mind, your mind or principle. All there is to any situation in reality is principle in operation. With Mary Baker Eddy's unsealing of this great truth, we learn that our harmony already is. All that God is, we are, having the mind of God. It is educational to look up Mrs. Eddy's several hundred references to harmony in science and health. It will reveal to us the harmony and intelligence already within us. Comprehending this great truth, actually understanding it, causes whatever is wrong to fall away. Though thousands of years of traditional thinking hinders our acceptance of our present divinity, let's not go back to yesterday's manna. The spiritual facts are learned step by step as we follow the spiritual byway that teaches us what we are as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Quote, centuries will intervene before the topics of science and health become sufficiently understood to be absolutely demonstrated. Unquote. The relative is only to help us who are ignorant of our God being. But, Mrs. Eddy said, having perceived in advance of others the scientific fact of our present perfection, we owe to ourselves and to the world a struggle for its demonstration. Unquote. This is what we must at least try to do, get out of the relative and into the truth about ourselves. This is what Mrs. Eddy did, and what each loyal Christian scientist should strive to do. Every Christian scientist should be a pioneer opening up the spiritual age. As we find its message of glory already within our consciousness, we should herald it to all the world. Worse than gullibility and apathy is silence. Clouds of secrecy are killing winds that leave a trail of tears. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy urged, let the word have free course and be glorified. The people clamor to leave cradle and swaddling clothes, unquote. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy have invited us to stand beside them and see for ourselves what they saw spiritually. See for ourselves the opening of new spiritual frontiers. Today, civilization no longer needs to open up a wilderness. It needs wilderness to open up new spiritual frontiers of the mind. Wilderness, as defined by Mary Baker Eddy, spontaneity of thought and idea, the vestibule in which a material sense of things disappears and spiritual sense unfolds the great facts of being. The science of truth. We find God, infinite good, our real selfhood, in the pages of Science and Health, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations, meaning for the healing of all that is not in accord with all harmonious, God-like thinking. Mary Baker Eddy, who brought this comforting assurance, came like the Virgin Mary and Jesus in fulfillment of scriptural prophecy. Jesus, before leaving this world, promised another comforter that will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. Strong's Bible Concordance translates the Spirit of Truth as the science of truth. 2,000 years ago, in Jesus' time, the people were not ready for this Spirit, this science of truth. Indeed, Jesus described it as one whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth not this spirit of truth, neither knoweth this spirit the science of truth. The basic error, of course, is accepting the misconception, the illusion, that you are a person with a human mind. Accepting suggestions of mortal mind and believing spurious hypnotic presentations is what Mrs. Eddy called malpractice. Our work is to reform ourselves, not what we behold. Our strength in reforming ourselves and gaining the God character lies in our tenacity. In Documents, page 136, talking to several students, Mrs. Eddy said, "You will heal instantaneously when you believe what you say." Jesus, explaining his disciples' failure to heal, said, "Because of your unbelief." Just where mortal mind says, "I can't," you must know, "I can." Turn away from error, this varmint in the shrubbery, and as you turn away from everything ungodlike, know in the most positive way that God, infinite good, knows no such thing. Mrs. Eddy healed instantly. The book Documents, page 142, describes how Mrs. Eddy was once called to heal a 4-year-old boy dying of consumption. Quote, "The child was so emaciated, his bones could be counted through the skin. To reach the child, Mrs. Eddy had to pass through a room where the father was lying in bed, helpless from the same dread disease. The daughter, who was sitting with her father, was deaf. Mrs. Eddy went to the little boy, and the mother left them alone. When the mother returned in a few minutes, her child ran toward her laughing and looking the picture of health, and as Mrs. Eddy described him, with his cheeks sticking out like two rosy apples. The child's emaciated form had been replaced with a normal body. When the mother stepped to the other room, she saw her husband sitting on the side of the bed, a well man, and her daughter was holding her hands to her ears to shut out the sounds she could now hear." Unquote. It was healings like this that spread Christian Science around the world during Mrs. Eddy's time, and for 40 years following, on the momentum she had built up. Quote, "Lost in the eminence of mind, Mrs. Eddy had seen only the omnipresence of present perfection." Unquote. Nemi Robertson says that after telling of this healing, Mrs. Eddy said, "Divine love alone can heal, and to know that God is all covers the whole ground." When Mrs. Eddy said this, she seemed transfigured. It was wonderful. Unquote. To another student, Mary Baker Eddy said, quote, "I walk the earth in the atmosphere of love, which holds me in spiritual gravitation. The love that I reflect repels every error of mortal mind, for love is the only law, and love is all activity. Love fills all channels and expels all error. Love purifies, inspires, protects, and satisfies. Love contains, love maintains, love sustains. Love does liberate, unbind, unseal, and deliver. Naught can hinder love. Love supplies with perfect freedom. Love furnishes, provides, adorns with great liberty. Love glows, warms, shines, lights with its rays of glory. Love illumines, irradiates, beams with resplendent brilliancy. Love is the only and all of spiritual attainment in spiritual growth. Without it, healing is not done and cannot be, either morally or physically. Every advanced step will show you this until victory is won and you possess no other consciousness but divine love." That was a Carpenter item. Abigail Dyer Thompson recalls that Mrs. Eddy confided, quote, "I saw the love of God encircling the universe and man, filling all space, and the divine love so permeated my own consciousness that I loved with Christ-like compassion everything I saw. This realization of divine love called into expression the beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, which healed and regenerated and saved all who turned to me for help. She continues, "The way our leader said the word love made me feel that she must have loved even a blade of grass under her feet." My mother used to speak of an experience that Mrs. Eddy once told her of, walking along the street and coming upon a cripple piling wood. As she passed him, she touched him on the shoulder and said, "God loves you." And instantly the man was healed. Another time, seeing a cripple, Mrs. Eddy said, "My heart gushed with unspeakable pity and prayer." And again, the crippled man was instantaneously healed. In healing a patient, Mrs. Eddy often became conscious only of life, truth, and love, and totally unconscious of the material situation, until the patient recalled her to the human surroundings. Often, in raising the dead, Mrs. Eddy forgot the patient completely, as a wordless flood of life filled her consciousness. In her deep spiritual realization that infinite love was infinite life, and infinite life was infinite love, everywhere present, the patient was restored. Ralph Spencer tells of a reporter for the Syracuse Post, who, after interviewing Mrs. Eddy, wrote, quote, "I knew then, and I know now, that I was in the presence of an extraordinary person. It was as though here was one who had fasted, had been in long periods of prayer and solitary communion with her God and her Christ, and that something of the great spiritual life eternal had settled upon her. I have always felt that this was my greatest interview. Her presence has always been with me. Her name is surely enrolled among the greatest religious leaders of all times." Unquote. Many have written that the moment they saw Mrs. Eddy, they knew they were in the presence of one inspired by God. The Reverend S. E. Simonson wrote, quote, "I can find no words to express fully my gratitude to God for this noble and wonderful woman, who was good enough, pure enough, unselfish enough, and intelligent enough to receive this revelation of divine science, and to record it in such a language as to make plain to the benighted understanding of mankind the way of God's full salvation through Christ." Again in Documents, page 227, Carolyn D. Noyes writes, quote, "One distinguishing feature of Mrs. Eddy's students and loyal followers and her faithful normal teachers, they always recognized, and have always done so, the fact that Mrs. Eddy was the woman St. John prophesies of in Revelation, and the little book spoken of in previous chapters is Science and Health. They know that no mortal man could have been instrumental in the coming of Christian science, whereas the little book must be in accordance with the scriptural prophecy, the seed of the woman. Dear beloved Mary Baker Eddy, you, like Jesus and Paul, have fought the good fight. You have kept the faith. In meekness and self-abnegation, you took the irrevocable step that committed you to the conversion of your pure ideal into life. You were bound to a star and could not turn back. No one will ever again have to drink the cup you drank to make clear to us our God being. Your divine works will heal all mankind and show them their divinity." Unquote. Divine science rolls back the clouds of error with the light of truth and lifts the curtain on man, on that which is conceived and born of truth and love, as never born and never dying, but as coexistent with his Creator. Our dear leader has shown us by her unfailing example what the chapter Marriage in the first edition teaches us, that virtue is the basis of civilization and progress, that the formation and education of even mortal mind must improve before the millennium, that this will lead us to the realization that all is infinite mind, our real mind, and its manifestation, and that for this to happen, we must start right where we are, practicing the God qualities in concrete ways as we go out into the world.